The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
It does settle in your soul.
Does settle in your soul.
Yep, this is Terry and Wynn again.
We're back.
We're back. We're sitting in for Sovereign Minds, who Mark and Linda and Dave is on. They're on assignment.
On assignment, whatever that assignment might be.
What does that mean?
That means they're just not here.
They're not here. That's what it means. But they'll be back next Sunday, and when they're back next Sunday, I am sure it is going to be a sock rotter.
Yeah.
It will.
Yeah.
Talking about sock rotters. We have Mark Barrett on the line, and he said some stuff that I'm sure people are excited about hearing, excited about learning, and also the liberals are quaking in their boots.
Yes, sir.
Mark, welcome back.
Thanks for having me again. Hey, before we get going, can I give an address? Because
Yeah. I was just going to ask for that. You read my mind.
No, these cases are expensive, and I think I can win this thing, but I really need some help. And if you can donate whatever you can afford, send it to 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite D, Redding, California, 96003, and put PECAN, P-E-C-A-N, on the check, and then 2A on the memo line so it goes into the correct account.
Well, and keep in mind, too, that writing the check to PECAN, it's a donation, and you can have
it's tax deductible.
It's tax deductible.
Yep.
So, want the listeners to understand that so that they can contribute that way and as much or as little as they like.
And also tomorrow.
Yeah, once again, that's 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Redding, 96003.
Yep.
Sweet. B?
Sweet B, like
Sweet
boy.
B.
Like boy.
B like in boy.
Yeah.
And aren't you on Mountaintop Media Podcast tomorrow?
Yeah, that's going on. In fact, the guy who was setting up the time tried to call, but I was yammering to you guys. We'll have to call him back in a little bit.
Sounds good. Now, I know that'll premiere tomorrow night, Monday night. It's Mountaintop Media. The program is Patriot State of Mind. And the hosts are Carlos Zapata, Woody Clendenin, Lonnie Bengay, and John Knight. And Mark Baird will be their guest. So it's pretty exciting. Just go to mountaintopmedia.com, mountaintopmedia.com, and you just move on over to the podcast. You click on Patriot State of Mind, and boom, away you go. So, Mark, where would you like to go with what's going on with this Second Amendment and with what's going on with your case at this point? Where would you like to go?
Well, it's important to make one distinction. Just because the Supreme Court says something doesn't mean other courts automatically stand up and say, oh, my goodness, we've been doing this wrong for 50 years. We've got to review all this. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
They will ignore this opinion until someone makes them acknowledge it. So this is not a get-out-of-jail-free card for my case, because the Supreme Court has ruled that the text of the Second Amendment protects the conduct of the people who are bearing arms. That doesn't mean that old Judge Mueller in Sacramento is going to reverse her opinion or do anything different. I have to go back into court, and that's the important part of this. It is expensive. Please donate if you can. But here's what we hope to achieve. Based on what the Supreme Court has said, I cannot imagine in my wildest dreams California is going to abandon its permit scheme, because that would be the last vestige of control that the kings and queens of Sacramento have over you. And the Supreme Court is not forcing them to do that. The Supreme Court is saying that 43 states and the seven, or 43 jurisdictions, by the way, have, shall issue, or no permit required at all. And then six states plus Washington, D.C. have very strict permit requirements, which definitely preclude the vast majority of people from exercising Second Amendment guarantees, California being one of them. The Supreme Court ruling and opinions do support this, that a shall-issue permit scheme is the only one that will be allowed constitutionally, and that the states with these shall-issue permits may not overly broaden sensitive places and reasonable regulation so as to preclude the vast majority of people from getting a shall-issue permit. And those opinions will be challenged if the state tries to do that. Now, as I started to say in the last hour, the Attorney General of California, probably on instruction from the governor, has already panicked out of the show just cause part. So they're thinking that, oh, if we just say that there is no more just cause requirement, that we can keep doing business as usual, which denies the vast majority of people ability to get a permit. And that's not going to work, because California is still a may issue state, and the Supreme Court has rejected the may issue regime in favor of shall issue as comporting more closely with the intent of the Second Amendment, which is that the right shall not be infringed. I just have to shake my head at how the Supreme Court of the United States could say, oh, well, if a state has a shall issue permit, then your right isn't infringed, even though they stop you from getting the permit in some other way. I mean, but that's the world we live in, and we're going to have to live in that world. So what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to force the court to have a shall issue open carry permit, because once again, concealed carry is not a right, and that is settled law according to the Ninth Circuit. Open carry is our venue. And what we want to do, in order to use the 26150B2 or 155B2 as the basis of that, the geographic restriction, in other words, it's only good in the county of issue, that must be stricken. The population restriction, only good in counties with less than 200,000, that has to be stricken.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be good in every county, regardless of their population, because the court has expressly said, just because a place has a lot of people in it doesn't mean you don't have a Second Amendment. And they also drew that parallel directly by saying that the founders had cities that were densely populated, and they were certainly free to enact reasonable regulation in densely populated areas had they wanted to, and they didn't.
Question.
Therefore, they did not think it was necessary.
Right. Question. So, a question here. Okay, you had mentioned the 26150B2, which is a police chief giving a permit for concealed carry. With a 26155B2, the sheriff would give that. Does the police chief override a sheriff? Why would you need, even though a police chief can issue the 26150B2, why would a police chief ever have to do that if, in fact, the sheriff, being the chief law enforcement officer in the county, wouldn't a county permit override and trump, no pun intended, a 26150B2 by a police chief?
No, 155 is police chief, 150 is sheriff.
Okay, right. Yes.
And the answer to that is no. You fall within the jurisdiction you fall in, and if you're in an incorporated city, you fall under the jurisdiction of the police chief, not the sheriff.
Well, then does that mean that a concealed carry permit or an open carry permit could be no good in the city of Reading, even if the sheriff issues it to you for the county?
If the police chief declared that he would not honor county concealed carry permits, he'd have a go at it. Whether the court supported that activity or not would be another story, but you'd have to go to court to find out.
Okay.
Because if you got pulled over with a county permit after the police chief or the city council enacted an ordinance stating that those permits were no good within the incorporated parts of the city of Reading, then they would arrest you and you'd go to jail, and in court you'd have to try to assert your case. Do I think it's constitutional? Absolutely not. But the point is the cops have all the guns.
Well, Mark, how does that work, though? I'm sorry to interrupt, but how does that work with the police chief being appointed by the city council and not being elected in by the sovereign citizens of the county and or the city, if you will? How does that work? How do they trump the sheriff who is duly elected by the sovereign citizens of the entire county, which includes the city?
Are you asking me if it's constitutional?
Yes.
No, I'm just asking how it works, how it would work, because...
It works because the cops that pull you out of the car at gunpoint have sovereignty over your liberty at that point, unless you want to get shot.
I guess first of all, the police chief is hired by the city manager, not the council. The council can't fire...
Even worse.
No, even worse. That's what I'm saying.
Even worse.
I'm going to Mark's point.
Yeah.
That's how bad it is.
Yeah.
The city manager is the only one who can hire and fire a police chief. The city council has no jurisdiction over that. Well, we tried that.
Right? That's right. Exactly.
I have a solution for that, by the way. And if we want to exit crazy town when it comes to constitutional authority and constitutional validity and constitutional law, here's the answer, because California is literally an insane asylum. And all of the inmates have been handed the keys to the cages, and all of the people who guard the liberty are locked inside the cages.
True.
So if we want to stop this nonsensical, illogical, contrary, anti-liberty behavior, we need to form our own state. And I've been saying that for years.
Amen,
and years
brother.
And ad nauseum.
And
so
that's the way to exit all of this behavior. Right.
And get back to a place where people are in charge of their liberty and in charge of the government, oddly enough, that they formed to serve them.
Smaller government.
There is a funny line in the Administrative Procedures Act, and that is that the people of California do not yield their sovereignty to the agencies that were formed to protect them.
Right.
But California doesn't obey the law.
Right, and that's exactly correct. And the only way to fix this is to split the state.
Yes.
I mean, the only way to do that, and we even had a lot of people talk about, well, you know, why do you talk about the counties on this program? Because
that's where it starts.
I mean, Mark, when you got this ball rolling and you had the counties sign declarations, you had county supervisors
sign the declarations in different counties
doing the declaration.
And we did it county by county.
County by county.
We're all 23 counties.
That's why we did it county by county. Duh. That's why we talk about counties. That's why we use Shasta County, because we're trying to use examples. And we use the county example to what's going on here. And, Mark, you made such a great point. I want you to elaborate on it, because that's kind of where I was hoping we would go here. We need to get out of the insane asylum. California cannot be fixed, period, in a sentence. It can't be fixed. We have talked to people who have run for the Senate of the United States from the state of California, people who ran for state Senate, people who ran for Secretary of State, yada, yada, yada. Point being is that every one of them understands California is completely broken. It can't be fixed in its present form. And the only way we can fix this is to split the state. Now, if you have a question out there or you've got a better idea, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567, or you can get in our chat room. So, Mark, I'd like you to expound on that, please.
We have found ourselves in this dystopian, bizarro universe where the government itself not only ignores the law, but they've never even read the rules of the game to their own state. They've never read the California Constitution. They've never read the United States Constitution. They don't care what's in it. You can't make them care, because you don't have enough political power to blow ripples in a teaspoon of water, much less affect events in your area. And we are now the playthings of government for every social engineering and environmental engineering project that the idiots in the California legislature want to impose upon you. And remember, when you look at the representative ratio in the state of California, Los Angeles County has 15 state senators, and the entire northern third of California has 6 state-level representatives, including senators and assemblymen. So when you ask yourself, why do we always lose when it comes to these things, just take a look at the fact that 51% of the representation in the state of California falls from the Los Angeles County line south to the Mexican border. You are outvoted by one city and one set of communities each and every time. They don't care what you want. They don't care what you think, and you can't make them care. In addition to that, with a state senator that represents 1 million people, you can't even make your own representative care what you want and what you need because he doesn't have to. You don't have enough money, and you don't have enough political horsepower to replace a bum or a crook once you've elected them. And that's the problem in California, and that's the problem we're trying to rectify with the state of Jefferson. But we find ourselves in the unenviable position of the Constitution of the United States forces us to ask an illegitimate government in a seditious state house for permission to leave and exercise our own liberty. And, gee, guess what they're going to say?
What would they say?
So we're forced to find other means. That's one reason why I brought this Second Amendment case. I want to win this case to restore some liberty to all the people of California so that we can genuinely look at the people of California and say, look, if you want the rest of it, help us break this idiocy up into two or three bits where the people are in charge of the government that they form to serve them, instead of the government subjugating the people through sheer weight of numbers and weight of money.
Yeah.
So true. I mean, that's just so true. And it's the craziness of people, you know, not understanding. The states actually have the power. The states have the power. The states created through the compact, which is a contract between countries, between nations, because Jefferson had always said that the state of Virginia is likened to the state of England, France, or Spain. You know, and when you look at that situation, the compact is being formed by the states, and like you said 100 times, Mark, the federal government is the product. The government is the product of the states. It's the product of the compact. And in the 10th Amendment, it specifically states that anything not given to the states to do via the Constitution of the United States goes back to the states. If they, that's not delegated. You can't delegate if you're in a contract with somebody, and you can't delegate unless you're the higher power. And that's something that people just don't get. And they listen to Fox News and all these other news medias that talk about, oh, the federal government this, the federal government that. Wait a second. Stop. The thing is that the states hold the power. And I think over the abortion issue and with the Second Amendment issue, the Supreme Court is bringing that back in full circle and saying, hang on, you know, ain't my job. This goes back to the states to figure this stuff out.
Well, why don't we take a look at the states then as our next the next object of our scrutiny, and look at the preamble to the California Constitution. In other words, why is there a state of California? Why did we care? What was wrong with the Mexican government? What was wrong with Alta California and being under Spanish rule? Why did we feel the need to form a state and form a government to serve the people of California? And all we have to do is look at the preamble. We, the people of the state of California, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom, that to secure and perpetuate its blessings, remember, that's freedom's blessings, not the love of the environment or the sacrificial lamb of giving up everything you have so that the people in China and Africa can continue to pollute. To perpetuate its blessings, we do form this Constitution. We form the Constitution of the state of California to secure our liberty, presumably from the next biggest fish on the block, who would take it away from us. We chose to act collectively because, as a state, we have more ability to protect our liberty from foreign or outside intervention than we would as individuals. In order to do that, we sacrifice some liberty on a temporary basis to the government in order to protect the vast majority of the liberty that we hold most dear. And those things are outlined in Article 1, Section 1 of the California Constitution, although nobody's ever read it. But if you ever chose to read that, you could discover some things. And then Article 2, Section 1 tells you that government was formed to serve the people, not the other way around. And if you'd ever read that, you would learn some things. But that California was formed to protect our liberty. Well, whenever that government fails to do the job that we formed it to do, it is the right and the responsibility of the people to alter, change permanently, or reform that government whenever the public good demands it. Article 2, Section 1 of the California Constitution. We don't have to wait for a referendum. We don't have to wait for an election. We can do that any time the government of California fails to serve the people and protect their, and by serving the people, I mean protecting their liberty.
Well, they've been doing that for a decade, so we're behind the eight ball. We're a little late. We need to get going.
You think?
We've only been working on it how long, right?
Right. Well, it starts with the Second Amendment, because without the Second Amendment, all you are is a big mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's true. I mean, the Second Amendment, you know, we've talked before about representation. Without representation and proper apportionment, nothing else matters. And the Second Amendment's there to protect our constitutionally protected rights, our God-given rights that are protected by the Constitution. And when we do elect these people, we could say, well, let's throw all the bums out, but we could give them the opportunity, you know, as they did in 1862 when we had 417,000 people,
yeah,
and we had 40 senators and 80 assemblymen. And now we fast forward to 2022, and we have 40 senators and 80 assemblymen, but we have 40 million people. And, oh, by the way, in 1862 we had 52 judges, and now we have 2,500. So, gee whiz, I wonder.
Yeah, how did the judicial system grow like that, but not the legislative part of it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you keep the unsullied intact?
Yes, exactly.
Well, the even bigger question is, who is watching the watchers?
If nobody.
The judges are the watchers. Then, and we have 2,500 of them.
That's right.
Are all 120 representatives keeping an eye on the watchers?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Nope, not at all.
You know, you're absolutely right. I mean, there is no other answer than breaking up the state, whether that looks like two states, three states, four states, however that looks. Interestingly enough, during the last election here, there were only 13 counties that were actually red left out of the 58. Oh, excuse me, 11 counties, and those 11 counties happen to be all counties that had signed declarations in their county for the state of Jefferson. Pretty interesting, huh?
There you go.
Well, it is interesting, but you have a governor who is seditious by nature. He has already declared that he's going to defy the Supreme Court, the Article 3, Section 1, Supreme Court of the United States of America. He's going to defy them. He's going to spend $125 billion or whatever he said to make sure that people from all over the world can come to California to have their abortions. And the taxpayers of California are going to pay for that. And I'd like to ask all the Christians out there, how do you feel about paying your taxes to a government that's going to use that to abort children?
Right.
Yeah, also a government that has an educational process to where your five-year-old can have a stripper or transvestite come and dance in your classroom.
Well, we could get into all that.
We sure could, but
show isn't long enough.
No.
So to go back to the Second Amendment, we need to assert the most basic rights that we have and that we were given by our Lord to defend ourselves, our nations, our communities, our friends, our neighbors, our families. We need to assert that liberty because none of the rest of them have any weight without that one. And that's what we're trying to do now. I believe the Supreme Court has given us the basic tools to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of time. I need to get back into court. We're going to reapply for the preliminary injunction to enjoin California from enforcing unconstitutional statutes and laws and strike those laws. 25850, 26150, and 155 because of their unlawful and unconstitutional restrictions on the exercise of an enumerated right. And we'll see where that leads. And once again, please help me.
Can we have that address again, brother?
Yeah, I've got it too.
Yeah.
Can we have that address?
My wife and I are not rich. We're doing this out of the kindness of our friends and neighbors who are helping with this. So please be one of those. And whatever you can afford to donate, donate to PECAN, P-E-C-A-N, 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, Redding, California, 96003. And please put 2A in the memo line so that it goes, because Pecan is generous enough that they manage money for a lot of good causes. And if you want the money to go into the 2A account, put it 2A on the memo line.
The address is also in the chat room, and we've been talking with Mark Baird.
Yep.
Mark, bless you. Thank you so much for everything. Enjoy your day, and be listening to you tomorrow night on mountaintopmedia.com, mountaintopmedia.com, on Patriot State of Mind, and probably see you tomorrow.
Thank you, Mark.
Okay. Take care. God bless.
Thank you,
too,
brother. So we're going to go off to our break here, and I guess time has really come.
For 51.
And boy, are we going to get into that.
Amen.
Out of our era.
So you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? I grew up in Trinity County, man.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we were like 20 years behind everything.
Were you?
Oh, yeah.
Was it hazy over there?
Yeah. you know what? It was different, though. You know, those were days when you could actually, no one had fences. If I wanted to hunt on someone's property, I just asked them, and I split what I got. You know, you could take your gun to school, you put check it at the office, you could take it on the bus, and I really miss that.
Well, hopefully that'll come back again. So, this is Terry Raposo and Wynn Carpenter back again.
Still.
Fighting for liberty. And I have a question out there, and if you have an answer to this, the phone number is 530-605-4567. 530-605-4567. We are going to open up the lines here. If you have a question or a comment, feel free to call in. You know, on the agenda for the Board of Supervisors, we have a closed session meeting with Tom Bosinko being involved, and it has something to do with a court case.
He's a former sheriff.
Yeah.
How come he's going to be here for a closed session? What's going on?
Yeah, we have Richard on the line. We're going to bring him on in just a second because I really want his thought process on this. We keep talking about closed session and how we have this lawsuit and that lawsuit. He's here for a lawsuit. There's lawsuits after lawsuits.
That affects money.
Who pays for that? We pay for that, yet we don't know about it. We're not able to know about it. We don't know what goes on in closed session. A lot of times in closed session, what happens is that we get the information later, maybe, but the point is that we pay for it. Richard, what say you, sir?
Plenty. Plenty. you had a question for me?
No, I just was wondering if you were going to comment on what I was talking about. I mean, we've got the former sheriff back in town, and it apparently has something to do with some kind of lawsuit. You know anything about that?
No, but I doubt he's going to be in town. He
is in town, but Tomasenko's in town. It's on the agenda.
Sure, sure. But that doesn't mean he's going to be there for that closed session. He may just have legal representation there. It doesn't mean he's going to be there. But No, I have another issue. You guys hopefully got the document I sent to you a couple of days ago. You know, I'm going to say it. A lot of people are not willing to say this publicly. I believe our local elections were stolen from us. We've already seen the proof with the 2020 election being stolen. We've seen the proof with the Georgia elections being stolen. The California Election Integrity Project has a lawsuit with how our state laws encourage the fraud and how there is fraud in California. That lawsuit, I believe, is going to court here very quickly. So for people to think that, well, it doesn't happen in Shasta County or, you know, it's just amazing me that many people are in denial. I believe our local election here was stolen recently. We're trying to get some facts and data together, but it's hard to get facts and data when the local government continues to say, no, you don't get to have the facts and data. So the document I'm referring to, I did a records act for the two public cameras that surround the registrar's office. There's one in the alleyway. Mm-hmm. There's one in the alley. There's one in the front, over the front doors. Those two locations are 100% public accessible locations. Okay? So I thought, you know what? There's no way they're going to redact or amend or deny the full record. I wanted basically over 900 hours of video. I said, just send me the whole thing. You don't need to go through it. There's no expectation.
Hey, Rich. Rich.
Privacy. Rich. Oh, Nick.
Yes. No, Nick, you need to turn down your radio. Rich is on the line.
It's off.
Okay, you got to be quiet, Nick.
Be quiet,
Rich
Nick.
Is on the line.
Rich is on
quiet,
the line.
Please,
go ahead.
Please.
Okay. There is zero legal expectation of privacy in a public alleyway or the walkway in front of the registrar's office, which is where those cameras are located. Zero expectation of privacy. Yet the registrar gives to me in writing, and you gentlemen have this, she says, no, for the alleyway camera, I'm going to review and redact any kind of things that I don't want you to see. And then for the camera in the front, she says, no, actually, you don't get any of that. You get zero of that footage because there's a drop box located there, and because people voted in that front alley, in that front walkway on voting day. And I don't know, how are we supposed to have transparency and accountability in our government when they're actually twisting and contorting the state laws? They even cited the California Constitution, Terry, Article 1, Section 1, where there's a right to privacy in the California Constitution. Well, gee, if they thought there was a right to privacy, why would they put up cameras in the first place? I mean, my God. And so they are refusing to give me the full unredacted camera footage on both of those cameras where there's zero expectation of privacy. Why? Gee, I wonder what I would find if I was to review that footage. What do you think?
Hey, Rich, hasn't anybody seen this video? It's called 2,000 Mules. I mean, that's exactly what all that footage that they have, like 4 million minutes of footage, and this here in Shasta County is going to fall into that same category. I mean, you're exactly right. No expectation of privacy.
Exactly right, my friend.
That's what they cited.
He's
no
right.
Expectation of privacy. They're on government buildings that we own, filming what's going on at the government building that we own. There's no expectation of privacy.
So, yeah, nothing to see here, right? Move along.
Yeah,
well, see,
exactly.
The problem is some of these good Republicans voted for Kathy Darling Allen.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it was a nonpartisan race, except that she believes she's a Democrat. She believes in all the Democrat ideals. One, she doesn't want voter ID. That's a democratically pushed, Democrat Party pushed position. She loves the drop boxes. That's a Democrat pushed position. She loves the Dominion machine. That's the Democrats. And I know Nick, I don't know if he's still on the line or not, but if he's, Nick is going to be talking to us in a bit here about the email he sent out to folks, and that the Board of Supervisors is receiving emails that are unprecedented over the Dominion machine wanting to get rid of those. And to my third point, and that is that Kathy Darling Allen loves those just mail-in ballots. She loves all those things. Yet it's a nonpartisan position. That is such a bunch of crap. I can't believe it. And you're absolutely right, Rich. We should, I mean, how can what, the right to privacy? What? Whose privacy?
Yeah.
So she uses an election code which states that you may not photo or video an election area, whether it be a drop box or a polling place, whatever. But in that very code, it says the person taking the photos or video have to have the intent to dissuade voting. That is in the law. And but yet they cite that law to say, well, we can't release the vote, you know, the video, because that could dissuade voting. No, they're twisting and contorting the law. And did you guys know what happened the morning after election night at the registrar's office with the computer, the county computer employee? Do you guys know about that?
No, what happened?
Oh, wow, I can't believe you guys don't know that.
Well, I think we do. Are you talking about what John Knight experienced?
Yeah. So there was well.
Yeah,
we
had him on. We had him on. Yeah, last week.
But our listeners may not. So tell us what happened.
Yeah. So when I know you were there during that evening, but then you left. So
no, I didn't leave. I was there from 1 o'clock in the morning until 7 o'clock the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
But you left by 7:30.
Yeah.
When the county computer information technology employee showed at 7:30.
Yeah.
With a registrar's employee. Don't you think IT has banker's hours? What are they doing there at 7:30 in the morning? Okay? They were specially requested to show up at the registrar's office the day after election. They go inside. John Knight confronts Kathy Allen, and I have the video. I have the audio from John Knight. He took it. Good for him, because there's no expectation of privacy. So I have it. He has it. He asked her, I would like the identities of those county IT workers, and I would like to know why they're there. And Kathy Darling Allen, she says, well, I can't give you their names because I could be violating their privacy. And Kathy says she needs to check with her attorney, which probably means the county attorney. And they were in there unobserved, with the ballots, with the machines, with the servers. Gee, servers, computers. Gee, I wonder what they're doing in there. The day after election, unobserved by citizens. Gee, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. Nothing to see here. That's why we have to count everything by
Unbelievable.
Hand. Look at where we're at right now. With electronic voting here in Shasta County, I'm just going to speak about Shasta County because that's where we're at the moment. How do we honestly think that this is going to be a valid election count? Because the way things have turned out, the stories that we hear from observers of things that don't quite add up. I'm not saying anybody's doing anything wrong or anything like that, but they just don't add up. Now, how does that work? And then it's taken 3 weeks to get the results of what's going on with the election. How does that work on top of it? When in the old days, before they had the machines, they counted them by hand, and we had the results the next day. How does that work?
Well, there's really this. It's a non-starter to talk about the delays in the counting and the official counts and the updates.
Why is that a non-starter?
Because I was there during the Modi recall. I was also observing during this primary. There's a lot of policies and procedures and recounts and 1% counts and audits, and there's a lot of policies and procedures in place that. So as far as them releasing the numbers and the timelines, that they're doing everything they're supposed to do by law. I don't see a problem with that.
Okay.
But I do see your point. Yeah, when you're doing a hand count, maybe the results would come out on a different timeline. But, you know, my point here, folks, is I believe they stole our county elections. This is my opinion, at the drop boxes and likely with some kind of a computer algorithm.
Yeah.
Gee, did I say the IT guys were there 7:30 the day after election? Gee, what were they doing in there? Anyway, it's a mess. It is such a mess here. Our system is 99, our California election system is 99% corrupt. The laws are written to to ingrain the fraud within the system, and they've been doing this long enough now where they're pretty darn good at hiding the evidence.
Nick, are you still there on the line?
Nick, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey,
okay.
There's something I wanted to bring to Mark's attention. He's probably aware of it.
Okay, well, hold on a second, because you still got, there's something going on in the background. I'm really not sure what it is, but there was something going on in the background, buddy. Okay, it looks to me like Pat's got it cleared up. Go ahead, Nick.
There's a bill in the Senate of the Assembly to require gun owners to get liability insurance. And I suspect if you get liability insurance, you're going to have to tell them how many guns you got and serial numbers. So, you know, that's just another way to figure out how many guns we got, and I wouldn't be in favor of that.
Now, is that a federal bill you're talking about or a state bill?
No, that's a state bill.
State bill, yep. Go ahead.
And maybe you'll want to talk about that. Maybe you won't. I've started a deal to where I want everybody to email the supervisors and tell them whether you trust the Dominion machines to count your vote or not. Overwhelmingly, people don't trust it, so we need to find another avenue to do it. And I'm trying to open up that conversation with the supervisors, because if you don't trust who counts your vote, what do you got?
Nothing.
No. The liability insurance for CCW, is that in the hopper?
No, that's not CCW. That's gun owners.
Gun owners, okay. And that's, okay, is that in the hopper or is that already law?
No, I don't think it's already law.
Okay,
it's in the hopper.
It's a proposed
gotcha. Bill.
Okay.
And, you know, you got to kind of fight that because, like I say, that's just another way to get all your guns registered. Most people that have long guns that Grandpa gave them aren't registered.
Right.
Well,
most people won't want them registered. So I'll just leave you with that. You guys have a great day. Good show.
Well, I want you to know, Nick, that we just got Pat just put the email on the chat room so where we can email the so, folks, you need to email your supervisors. Thanks, Nick, for the hard work. Great stuff. Rich, you still there, buddy? Yep. Rich is gone.
All right,
okay.
He's gone. Okay.
Are the lines clear?
They're clear. Lines are clear.
That's good. Okay, now you can finish your scotch.
She's not going to share? Come on, Pat.
Yeah, you know, we're down here for a long time, you guys.
I don't
bring us a cooler of beer or something.
I don't want to drink Carl's scotch while he's gone.
Yeah.
Terry will steal
He'll
it.
Never
and
know.
Give
just
it
tell
you.
Him he drank it. He wouldn't remember.
Yeah, we wouldn't remember it either.
So yeah, I'm still interested about this deal with Basenko being in town, and this closed session thing really kind of sticks in my craw. When you have a closed session issue, and most of the time it's lawsuits. I mean, if you look at an agenda for the Board of Supervisors, it seems like the closed session that they have, almost all of them are about lawsuits.
Yeah.
What lawsuits?
Yeah.
How come we don't know about the lawsuits? We got to pay for it.
Right.
How come we don't know about it? You know, and that's the thing. I am so tired of this, the way that our county officials, the way that our county, not all of them, but some of our county supervisors keep us in the dark. How the appointed people keep us in the dark, you know, on all this stuff. It's our money. And, you know, to me, as I look at this and I look at Liberty, and I start looking at how things are structurally set up in the county, you got to scratch your head, man. I mean, you got to scratch your head.
It should all be out in the open.
It should be out in the open. It's our money.
The discussions should be out in the open. They want to discuss land deals. Well, guess what happened? You know, those are one of the things that they talk about. You know, they have to go into closed session to talk about land deals, whether they're buying or selling. Okay, I could understand going into closed session for personnel issues, depending on the sensitivity of those personnel issues.
Sure.
That I can support. But for land deals, any lawsuits that are, you know, that we need to be aware of that you, like you just rightfully said, that we're paying for, absolutely not. That should be out in the public. People can see and hear and understand what's really going on. And then guess what? Maybe some of those things get resolved the way they're supposed to be resolved. You know, because then they can't cover it up. They can't deny how they're reacting to it, how they vote on it, even the questions they ask about it. You know, it's frustrating as all get out that we are always in the dark and we are paying for it on top of that. And then they'll tell us, oh, well, on a need-to-know basis, we'll tell you about this, that, or the other. It's like, No, we do need to know. We are the employer. You were the employee via the vote. So you need to remember that, and you need to work that way with us and for us to make sure that, you know, our county is run properly.
Richard.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
Let me finish on
that. Oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah.
We're glad you're back.
We're glad you're back. Sometimes when we have two people on the line, we have some phone issues, but now you're the only one, buddy. Shoot away.
You know me. I got plenty. But, hey, let me finish the election
side.
Yeah. And I want to move on to Second Amendment stuff. So there's a Seth County Board of Supervisors meeting about July 12th or so, whenever that Tuesday is. That is likely the date Kathy Darling Allen will probably present for certification, in my humble opinion, this fraudulent local election. there's a bunch of us working in the background right now. There could be some fireworks that day. I hope there is. I'm going to try to get a nuclear red button that day to set off a mushroom cloud. But we'll see what happens. I think that day is going to be interesting. Probably things never seen before in Shasta County. So I hope a lot of people can show up to that regarding our local election issues that we have had. It's just amazing how so many people have just put it behind them like there's no issues and we're just going to move on. Because, you know, they're going to steal November from us, folks. They couldn't steal all six races at once. That would be a little too obvious, would it not? So, yeah, let's go ahead and let the District 1 and 5 race go to November. Everybody will forget by November that they stole June, and then let's steal 1 and 5 in November. I mean, come on, people, really?
What's our recourse?
Our recourse is our corrupted state or federal judicial system. That's our recourse. How's that?
Well, see, that's the whole thing. Again, you know, we keep trying to say the state is completely broken and people, you know, so what's the solution? What's the solution? We need to break up the state. There's no position for representation. We don't have that. The court system's corrupt. We don't have that. We can't even get a lot of things locally when you try to do things right. You know, it goes back to the old adage of the Republicans and the Democrats playing poker, you know.
Yeah.
You've got on one side, you've got the Republicans. The other side, you've got the Democrats sitting at a poker table.
Yeah.
And what you have is you have a big pot of money in the middle. And the Republicans show four aces. We have four aces. The back of the cards are the same deck. Then the Democrats say, stop, hold on, don't grab that pot. We have five aces. In the back of the aces are all different decks. And the Republicans say, you can't have five aces if we have four. And the Democrats say, well, we don't care. They reach over and pull the pot toward them. They say, we had the five aces. And the response of the Republican Party is, well, at least we played fair.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
The Republican Party is dead in California.
Well, that's the problem, right? We're law-abiding, you know, God-fearing people, and we believe in playing fair by the rules. When the other side, they don't play by the rules. So obviously, anyway. So what I wanted to finish with is, you know, well, quick caveat. We're almost exhausted of our peaceful remedies in Shasta County, and that's going to be a conversation for another day. But I want to move into California Rifle Pistol Association. I went down last week to Southern California, got some more instructor training so that I can teach under California Rifle Pistol, because NRA is basically dead in California. They pulled all their lobbyists out, so it basically does not exist here. So California Rifle Pistol Association, everybody please join crpa.org. We need more numbers. They're expanding their instructor cadre throughout the state. That's why I went down south. So did other people. They hope to, by the end of this year, they basically want to replace the NRA in California. That would be the instructor series, the instructors at the ranges, the certifications, and CRPA is really doing a lot of work this year. And they only have 19 full-time employees. So they have a lot of work to do, but that's where the volunteers are coming in. And so there's a lot of exciting things happening with CRPA in California right now. And hopefully by the end of the year, nobody will use the N-word being NRA. So we hope
Well, let's hope we're still around at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, there is that.
The rapture. Come on.
Well, this kind of goes in with what I said a minute ago about we're exhausting our peaceful remedies. And, gee, at the same time, we're going to bolster our gun rights. Our fellow citizens being trained to use weapons in a safe manner, yada, yada, yada.
Reminds me a little bit of the movie The Untouchables with Kevin Costner and Sean Connery.
Yeah.
And Kevin Costner, what happened there?
We're taking off. We're ready to... Oh, don't. No,
there we go.
We're not going.
Are we okay,
now.
Pat? It's okay, buddy. I know you're new at this. Rich, are you still there?
I'm still here.
We had a helicopter fly inside the office here.
They're hovering.
Yeah.
Well, they're probably going to be orbiting my place.
Well, anyway, The Untouchables with Kevin Costner and Sean Connery, and Kevin Costner playing Elliot Ness as How Do I Get Capone? And if you watch that movie, you'll see what Sean Connery says. I'm afraid that if I say something like that, even if I'm using innuendo and even if I'm using, maybe just a little bit of fun and humor, that the NSA that's listening to us may not take it correctly.
And the SEC will come after you, too.
Well, the government controllers, they are intentionally pushing us into this imminent civil conflict. That's what they want. They keep pushing us into a corner. They've been doing it for decades, right, on all levels. And now we're almost in the corner with no escape, and now it's time for the teeth and the claws and maybe some, bang, bang, pew, pew equipment to come out. And you know what? It sucks. It really sucks because we want to control our society in a peaceful manner, lawful, constitutional, republic form of government. And they don't want us to, they being the government controllers. They're taking it away from us all of the time.
You know, we're going to have a hard break here with the news, but if you want to stay over a little bit, Rich, if you have anything else, you're welcome to stay over.
I'll kick out.
All right. Go have some fun.
There's lots of news to be made here very soon. So
yes,
we'll
sir. And Rich, thanks for all you do, and thanks for all you're doing out there and all your hard work, and thank your team and
all the folks
out there that are working their butts off.
There's a lot of good people out there fighting and working hard and sacrificing personal and family time to do all of this. And Rich is one of the many that's doing that, and it's unenviable positions to be in, but they're doing it because they're patriots and they know right from wrong and they're trying to get things straightened out. So
because
thank
the
you
price
to every one of you.
The price of liberty is eternal vigilance.
Absolutely.
And the time has come.
For 51.
Well, looks like we got the news. We have to get it done.
Amen.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. President Biden is in Europe at this hour for a pair of international summits where support for Ukraine will be topic A. White House correspondent Greg Clugston.
The National Security Council's John Kirby says the G7 and NATO summits will focus on uniting Western nations behind Ukraine in its fight against Russia's invasion.
We are more resolved than ever to support Ukraine and are leading that effort head-on at both the G7 and the NATO summit.
The president will first attend the Group of Seven leading economic powers gathering in Germany starting Sunday, followed by a two-day NATO summit in Spain next week. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Donald Trump endorses a candidate for the GOP primary for governor during a rally Saturday night. Here's correspondent Bernie Bennett.
The former president used a rural rally to endorse Darren Bailey for the Republican nomination for governor in Tuesday's primary, as he also restated his backing for U.S. Representative Mary Miller.
So on Tuesday, get your friends, get your family, and vote for Mary and vote for Darren.
Mr. Trump also took a victory lap for the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling overturning Roe v. Wade.
Right from the United States Supreme Court, yesterday the court handed down a victory for the Constitution.
Throughout the rally, the crowd repeatedly chanted, "Thank you, Trump." Bernie Bennett reporting.
Kiev Mayor Vitaly Klitschko says Russia has begun targeting the Ukrainian capital again. Several explosions rocked the west of the city this weekend, with at least two residential buildings struck. A 7-year-old girl was pulled alive out of the rubble,
others bound for the hospital. Four people at least, possibly more. The war seems to be centering in the east now, but the Russians are spraying missiles around other parts of the country. Senior U.S. officials have arrived in Sri Lanka to find ways to help the island nation in the throes of an unprecedented economic crisis and severe shortages of essential supplies. More on these stories at townhall.com.
But not criminally. I'm Dave Ferry.
Tourism is booming again in France, but then so is COVID-19.
New coronavirus cases have been rising in France, nearly 93,000 per day by Johns Hopkins' latest count, and government data shows nearly 1,000 patients hospitalized per day over the past 2 weeks. Still, tourism is booming there this summer. Astatel Hotels president Serge Cachan says it's only taken a few months to return to pre-pandemic levels.
Not only to recover, but to overpass the best result we ever had in Paris, in the tourists, and I think it is the same all over France.
The French government has invited or recommended people go back to using face masks, though they stop short of renewing restrictions that might scare visitors away or revive protests. I'm Ben Thomas.
In Uvalde, Texas, the school district's police chief has stepped down from his position on the city council just weeks after winning the post and being sworn in. This follows allegations that he failed in his response to the mass shooting at Robb Elementary School, who killed 19 students and two teachers. The bodies of three young children and a woman believed to be a mother have been recovered from a Minnesota lake. It's apparently a triple murder-suicide. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshares. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, well, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder and CEO of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. And the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sounds crazy, right? Well, the crazy thing is, this never ends. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare, you'll pay nothing.
Were you lied to when buying a timeshare and want out? Get the facts about timeshare cancellation. Call Wesley now for your free information kit. 800-691-9999. 800-691-9999. 800-691-9999.
South Africa is struggling with increased power cuts that have hit households and businesses across the country.
Whilst power cuts are an ordinary occurrence in the African nation, recently the cuts have become so severe that some residents and businesses are going without power for more than 9 hours a day. The prolonged cuts come in the winter months of the southern hemisphere, when demand for power for light, heat and cooking is at an all-time high. State-owned power utility Eskom has extended the cuts due to power plant breakdowns, a worker strike and corruption. I'm Karen Chamas.
Meanwhile, West African leaders attended a summit today as their regional bloc pursues its efforts to resolve a political impasse in coup-hit nations of Mali, Burkina Faso, and Guinea. That last summit meeting, the Economic Community of West African States put off imposing any further economic or financial sanctions on those three countries. News and analysis at townhall.com. In baseball news, the Mets' potent rotation is finally closer to full health.
The Mets could have both of their co-aces on a major league mound by the end of the month. Jacob deGrom is scheduled to begin his minor league rehab assignment for Class A Port St. Lucie on Sunday. The two-time Cy Young Award winner is expected to throw 25 pitches in two innings. deGrom has been out since spring training because of a stress reaction in his throwing shoulder. He hasn't pitched in the majors since last July and isn't expected to be on a big league mound until after the All-Star break. Fellow ace Max Scherzer is scheduled to return from a strained left oblique muscle Tuesday night at Cincinnati. I'm Dave Ferry.
Today is Sunday, July the 3rd, and some famous people are celebrating a birthday, including playwright Tom Stoppard, who is 85 years old. Folk singer Judith Durham of the Seekers turns 79 today. Talk show host Montel Williams, 66. Actor Tom Cruise is 60. More on these stories at townhall.com.
kind of short and kind of square. Through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's the cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
It does.
It better settle in your soul, because California's broken.
Broken.
California can't be fixed.
Nope. Irreparable.
Can't be fixed.
Beyond being fixed.
We have a guest coming on right now. Hold on a second. Hold on. This is Cousin Beeford. My name's Cousin Beeford, and I just want to say that I really like the show there, Mr. Wynn. I think it's so good. And my cousin Chelsea's coming into town, and you'll like her. She's a big girl, takes up three seats on the Greyhound, but she's a happy girl.
There you go.
And she absolutely, she's knocking that weight off. I'm telling you. That was Pat. You don't be looking at my cousin like that, Pat.
I'm sorry.
When she smiles with that one tooth, you'll be really happy.
What are you talking about? That ain't Chelsea. You don't know what you're talking about, boy. So, are we going to win our liberty back? Are we going to restore our liberty? How do we do that, and who gets involved? There's a young lady named Carolyn Gomes. You know, she gets in there. She does the thing she needs to do. She's been an observer. She's just worked so hard, pulling people together. People like Richard Gallardo, Lori Bridgeford, Melody and Chad Fowler.
All the people there.
Katie, Arthur Gorman.
Yeah.
You know, all these great young people. Oh, what about Marty Reed?
Yeah.
How great has Marty Reed been in his wonderful wife?
Krista, yeah.
I mean, what a wonderful lady she is. Talking about just a ray of sunshine and hope and positivity. Those are the people that are standing up to do what needs to be done to restore their liberty. That's the thing we're looking at here. I hear revolution, revolution. No, this is a restoration.
Mm-hmm.
We already have the rights. They've been given to us by God. We already have those rights. We already have the rights to protect ourselves, to pursue happiness.
We have the rights. They're being thwarted by the government who, as I keep saying, the people that are in the positions of power, if you will, are put there by us, the voters. We are the ones in power.
Because we let them.
Because we let them. We don't hold them accountable. How are we not holding them accountable during good behavior? That includes judges. That includes everybody that's an elected official. If they're not behaving properly, morally, ethically, legally, and doing the job that they're supposed to be doing, and doing it in a timely fashion, then we get rid of them. And we are blessed here in California that we have the recall process. Other states do not. Georgia, they just have to wait for the next election. Here in California, we can get rid of them. If we have to vote the bums out, we vote the bums out. We have a process that is doable, and we even know here in Shasta County that we can do it because we did it once.
Chris Ann Hall made an interesting statement about 3 or 4 days ago. I was listening to her on the radio. But she made a great statement, and her statement was, you know, if we are looking to elections every 2 to 4 years to fix our problems, then we're really not fixing them, are they?
No.
Because the thing we have to look at is those elections, for the most part, are for people to represent us in our Republican form of government.
Yeah.
So they're to represent us. If we have to change them all the time, which we should have term limits, I believe. But anyway.
Well, we do.
We do.
You vote them out. You vote them out. That's
the
term limit.
But the point
limit.
Is, we have to hold them accountable while they're there.
That's correct. Absolutely.
And that's been the main thing. You know, and we haven't done that. We haven't watched them. And
it's our
like,
civic responsibility as adults living in Shasta County to vote, to get involved, to educate ourselves, to understand the process, and to know what's going on. It is our duty, and it's our duty to our progeny to do that. I mean, what are you leaving for your kids and grandkids and great-grandkids? What are you leaving for them when you don't get involved? When you're not out there working and doing everything else and holding these elected officials accountable and these bureaucrats that are appointed, no, absolutely not. They have to be held accountable. And if they're not being held accountable, who does that fall back on? Falls back on us, those who are not taking action to do that. And we're leaving the mess for our kids and grandkids and great-grandkids to clean up. Not on my watch.
Well, we still have the five aces against the four aces. And I think, exactly. Well, no, really. I mean,
you're right.
You know, it's true. So it's kind of it's not to say that elections don't mean anything. Of course they do. Should we vote? Absolutely. A million trillion percent. Point being is that we can't expect an election to fix everything. We should be watching and being diligent during that time, being observant, and making sure that we're understanding that we have to watch and make sure that the people whom we elect are going by the Constitution of the state of California and the United States of America, that they're upholding their oath of office, that they take an Article 20 of the California Constitution, that they're in a position for all those things, and that they are doing those things. And we haven't had the opportunity before because we haven't taken it.
Right.
Because we haven't done it.
You don't wait for it to be handed to you.
And that's why all these great young people that are out there now are doing it and standing up.
And they're doing it legally, morally, and ethically. Everything they're doing is above board, above reproach. It's auditable. I mean, everything they're doing is right. They're doing it the right way. And that's the thing. And that's when you're fighting the system and you're doing it the right way, of course you're going to have opposition. And they're going to say and do all kinds of things against you. And they're going to make up these lies. And it's amazing some of the garbage they come up with. And I know where they get the lies. It's because it's direct experience from their side. They know what they're doing. So they're going to say that others are doing what they're actually doing. And that's exactly what's been happening. It's been proven.
Absolutely correct. I mean, look what's going on with people that, you know, were upset about Roe versus Wade.
Right.
You know, I mean, their reaction wasn't, okay, well, you know, I guess what we need to do is go burn down a city, burn something down.
And they're doing it in the blue states, in the blue cities. Absolutely. That are who most likely going to still allow the abortion issue to occur.
Yeah. It's really something, because we're not understanding that the states have the rights. In the counties, that's why the counties are so important. The way we went it back has always been locally first. It's always been locally first.
Yeah.
And when I hear people like Richard, you know, calling in and finding all this stuff out that's, you know, I mean, great information, great facts. Listen, Mark Baird was amazing because he comes from a position of fact. You know, there's people that get on the radio on these talk shows during the week, and they have these guests on that will spew all these facts out, yet I've never heard where they get the facts from.
Right.
I mean, let's see here. The police don't have they don't legally have to protect you. Well, where do you get that from? Well, Penal Code 821, 845, and 846, Mark Baird.
Yeah.
Simply, okay, well, we want an open carry permit. Can you get one of those? And somebody may come on here and say, hey, you know, we can't get open carry permits. Well, where are you getting your information from? Or we can get them, or we should be able to get them. Where are you getting your information from?
They don't know.
Yeah, 26150B2.
There
you
go.
Sheriff. And so in a county under 200,000, which I think is discriminatory.
I agree.
And that's why when Mark was talking about Kavanaugh, talking about the suitability, in other words, we'll give you this right, that's your right if we think you're suitable. Well, who's we, number one? And two, doesn't that enter into the position of discrimination?
Well, and two, with Kavanaugh writing that, is he writing that from an emotional perspective because he's been threatened from day one all the way through this entire process, and so he's writing it from an emotional perspective versus a factual and logical perspective?
That's a good point.
How can he not? You know, I get it, but I'm just asking the question. Why would he write that and then put it out there from that perspective? It's like, no, you don't want to do that.
Well, why did he even say anything? It's
exactly.
Kind of like, you know,
like Mark said, he should have just shut up.
Him to say something.
He should have just shut up and
yeah.
let it go. Yeah.
Was he prompted, or did he feel like he needed to say something, or was this really embedded in his soul?
Right.
But kind of hard to see that one.
Yeah, yeah. It makes you wonder.
It does make you wonder. So, you know, when we look at the restoration of how we're going to regain our rights, the only way we can do that is to split the state. That, you know, again, 530-605-4567. 530-605-4567. What is your idea? What is your idea?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, well, we can do it just like, you know, we've talked about it before. There's other movements. Yeah. Everything has to be an Article 4, Section 3 state split. Everything does.
We know that. We've known that for a long time. Yeah, we've been saying it for a long time.
And the thing is, the only way you can have the West Virginia model is if you can prove the state of California and the legislative body of the state of California is in sedition or insurrection.
Right.
It's the only way you can do it. Yeah. You can't just say, well, I don't like what they're doing. So since I don't like what they're doing, then, you know, hey, we're going to break away. Well, no, it
doesn't work that way.
Now, let's think here. What are some of the things that could be unconstitutional, breaking your oath of office in Article 20 of the California Constitution, which, again, specifically states that you're taking an oath to protect
and
the rights of the sovereign and defend the United States Constitution as well as the California Constitution.
Well, so you're violating two constitutional oaths.
Well, how did they do that? Well, let's see. Brown did it when he made an illegal agreement with Brown in Oregon on the Klamath Dams.
Yeah.
Okay, because in Article 1, Section 10, Clause 4 of the United States Constitution, the only time that a state can make an agreement, a contract with another state, or the only way they can do that, and it would be a compact, by the
compact,
way,
right, yep,
with the other state, is if they have the permission of Congress. Now, Brown never got the permission of Congress. Heck, he made a deal with China and didn't get permission from Congress. What did Congress do? Well, he told them he had five aces.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's where we're back to.
Even though the back of the cards were all different, we've got four aces. You can't have five aces. Well, we do. And that goes back
to them doing what they're doing and not being held accountable, and they're not in good behavior. It goes back to that. Good behavior.
Article 3, Section 1 of Article 3 states that that judges serve at good behavior. Now, and that's in the United States Constitution. So if they serve at good behavior, that means that they're behaving, in other words, they're in compliance with the Constitution. Now, we've heard federal judges, literally heard them say, the Constitution means
what I say it means
in my courtroom.
Yes. We've had that said to us in court, and
Yeah, we have.
I have to stop there.
You know, and those are the kinds of things that we look at and we scratch our heads and we go, you know, and Mark Baird was right. I mean, and Rich was right. I mean, at what point do we allow corruption to stay where it is? In a new state, we could change that.
Absolutely.
For one thing, one of the brilliant ideas of Mark Baird and Janet Chandler was to have something called the Constitutional Compliance Committee.
Yep.
Which I think is brilliant, because what it is overseeing that, making sure that your elected officials and your appointed officials know the Constitution. In other words, they have read them both. They're held accountable that they've read them both, and that if they're not adhering to them, there's consequences.
Consequences, yep, absolutely.
And the same thing with any law. I mean, you know, you can throw a law out there for anything in the state of California. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's constitutional, not constitutional, you can throw it out there. But if it doesn't hold water in the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of California, it should never be law.
No.
It should never even go through committee. And that's what a Constitutional Compliance Committee would do. It's almost a fourth branch of government.
It is, yep.
I think we need that in the counties. I think the county should set up something like that, to where you have a county, to where you have a group of citizens that are saying, okay, well, this isn't compliant. They should all take a constitutional test. That right? Okay, they take one for the state and one for the United States. So they take,
and how many would actually stay on the Board of Supervisors if that happened?
Well, here's the thing. They take an oath to it. Uh-huh. So they should have read them both. and they should take a test. And when they take the test, it doesn't mean that if they pass or fail, they get elected or not elected. It just means that the score should be
posted
publicly posted. Shown.
Yes, you know, on the website, right next to their photograph, listing them as a board of supervisors for their specific district, and their score is right there with their name.
I mean, we've asked people that are running for office before, how many articles are there in the Constitution? And they look at you blankly, and one at one time said 17. I fee you not. See, I could have sworn right there because that wasn't.
It wasn't the helm.
Really, yeah. He had his headphones
on to
see.
The button.
I had to take care of the boy. He's running back and forth between 12 computers in there, so I want to make sure he's taken care of.
And I remember what she said to me. How she swore that it never would end. I remember how she held me for so tight. Wish I didn't.
He thinks he can do whatever he wants to do. That isn't the way we play here.
Sorry about that, guys. That was
great. It's okay. It's all right.
You got the B team.
Track
of
this.
Yeah. For every screw up I do, I'll pay you a buck.
Okay. Yeah, you're the boss.
No, Carl will pay you two to a poop box. Actually,
breaking it up with a little bit of music.
No, I like that.
Yeah,
that's a great song.
Carry on. Sorry.
That's okay.
It's all good. It's all good.
That's a great song. Because it was true, because that's what we're doing. I had a friend that used to use a different word there. It wasn't running against the wind. It was doing something else against the wind. That something else would get you wet.
Piddling against the wind. There you go.
And sometimes, sometimes when you look at what's happening with government, you feel that way. You know, it's sort of
sometimes.
Like, but where do we draw the line at? You know, where do we draw the line? Where does it become to where we stand up and draw the line? And again, like last week, we had a great rant on the moral majority and how the pastors aren't really standing up. I'm sure that, hopefully, that this this position on Roe versus Wade has given the pastors a little more strength to talk about something.
The maker is wondering why they haven't yet. And he's wondering why you're not being faithful. You know, that's the part that kills me, too. It's like, okay, wait, you're supposed to be leading the troops and, you know, bringing people to God. And you're not doing that because you're letting that, the fear of something like that, draw you away from it. Don't be fearful. Be faithful. I don't understand why they aren't.
Well, you know, thing is that, again, it's all about the people holding people accountable.
Absolutely.
You know, and again, the Second Amendment, I mean, the bottom line to the Second Amendment is, the Second Amendment isn't saying we have the right to. The Second Amendment is telling the government, you can't take this God-given right from us.
That's right.
And for some reason...
Shall not be infringed.
And
shall,
you know,
not.
When Fox News came out, they had like a 14-minute deal when they came out with talking about the ruling on the... Rifle and Pistol Association, New York Rifle and Pistol Association's victory. And when they talked about that, they brought something up that I thought was really interesting, that the pundit actually said this. He said, you know, when you have when you have to get permission like this, and you have to show cause, that means that you're trying to allow a right to somebody. Now, how the hell many times have we said that?
How do you allow?
And our sheriff, our current sheriff, said that. So I talked to a radio pundit this week, and I said, well, you know, what do you think about that? I mean, well, maybe he'll change his position. He should have never had that position.
That should not be an
option. He never should have had that position. You know, it's just, it goes back to, you know, and I mean, is that a deal breaker? I think for a lot of people it's a deal breaker.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he's willing to go down that road,
what other
road are you going to go down? You know, and it's sort of like, you know, the police, whether they have a right to protect you or not. I mean, I've heard horror stories about that, where people, you know, one particular guy, had a situation where, you know, virtually his property was allowed to be destroyed.
Yeah.
And nobody did anything about it because politically he was frowned upon. I mean, it's not that we're looking for perfection. But I'm tired of the crooks. You know, I'm just tired of, and, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, we all don't have our flaws. Hell yes, we do. Point being is that really and truly, you're going to exert the power over someone else's rights? Why? Why would you even say something like that? And can't you, I mean, how would you have, how can you possibly use those two words in one sentence? And that's what this pundit on Fox News said.
Yeah.
Exactly what he said.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that to a point, many people just get tired of the fact that we bang our heads up against the wall, we bang our heads up against the wall, and we bang our heads up against the wall. We need to take it back, county by county.
Mm-hmm.
We need to break up California. Nothing else will work. There's no way you can have 40 senators to represent 40 million people.
Physically and practically impossible.
Especially when their jurisdiction
it's huge.
Of 11 of those 40 is for one county out of 58.
Yeah.
How does that show representation? How is that even close to being what the Fourth Amendment talks about? How's that even close to what Article 4 talks about? How's that even close to anything having to do with the fact that we have the right, the God-given right, to have our liberty protected? And when we elect people, they have the duty, the responsibility to protect the rights of the sovereign, and that's all government is for.
They're supposed to be the guardians of our rights, and they're not. That's their job. That's what they're elected to do. They're elected to protect our rights. That is their sole purpose.
Unbelievable. Well, we're going to go back to our break early here, about 30 seconds early, so you can finish up, Seeger.
Thank you. Here we go.
There you
go. Go, brother.
We'll be back.
Seems like yesterday, but it was long ago. Jane, it was lovely. She was the queen of my night. There in the darkness with the radio playing low, and the secrets that we share, mountains that we move, caught like a wildfire out of control, till there was nothing left to burn and nothing left to prove.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your host, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW Renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Took my first breath where the muddy rises, spills into the Gulf of Mexico. Where the skyline's colored by chemical plants to put bread on the table of the working man. Where the working man does his best to provide safety and shelter for kids and a wife. Giving a little of his soul every day, making overtime. The wolves away.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Was that Sally Lou again? Is that Sally you sent that in? That girl. She's really good at that, huh? What we're going to do is we're going to... Goose pretending like he was the whistler.
No, I was whistling.
Oh, were you really?
Yeah.
Well, you were.
I was whistling.
You were.
I'm a whistler.
You really can whistle.
I can whistle.
You're one true talent. Republican Central Committee.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey. When you have the floor, the Republican Central Committee.
Yes, I'm on the Republican Central Committee.
Of Shasta County.
And I'm the chair for the fair booth. We had the booth at the fair this last week, Wednesday through Saturday. And we had some great patriots work in the booth. And then we also had some great patriots coming by the booth and checking it out. And we had, of course, we had the a life-size picture of the congressman, Doug LaMalfa. And we had a life-size picture of Donald and Melania, the Trumps, and then we had photographs of Megan Daly, Brian Daly, and Ted Gaines all there. All the Republicans were represented there as far as, you know, state and federal and level there. And we just got to talk to people, and people came by, and they just wanted to talk, not always necessarily about politics, but just the state of what's going on and how they're being affected by what's going on. And obviously, you know, we don't have any control of that as Republicans in the state of California. And so that's their biggest complaint is, you know, what's going on here? And even nationally, you know, with Joe, everybody was talking about, hey, did you see him fall off his bike? I mean, that was the biggest thing. I am so proud of the kids that we met coming through there, a lot of these kids coming through the fair, coming into the building because it's air-conditioned, right, because it's 100-plus degrees outside. They're coming into the building, cooling off, and they come by our booth, and they see us, and they start talking to us about what's going on politically. They're teenagers, you know, 13 to 17 years of age. They're all hanging out in groups, you know, five or six of them roaming around, whatever. And they stopped and talked to us for the longest time. They got their pictures with the congressman last night. They were hilarious. They went and talked to the other party's booth, and the other party's booth doesn't have a sense of humor, apparently, according to the kids. They came back to us and reported, hey, they don't have a sense of humor like you guys do. And they were very decisive on who they are, what they're going to be when they grow up, and what they're going to vote for when they grow up. Not necessarily the person, but the ideals that they're voting for. And I want to give a shout out to all the great parents of those kids, because they're doing a stellar job of all of them, and you should be very proud. A lot of those kids were part of the kids that were in the barns, you know, with their livestock and whatnot, or just participating in fair in general, or just fairgoers. But they were all of like mind, and it was really refreshing to see that, because we have a huge gap in the age group of politically minded people, and they're bringing up the tail end of it. And I'm glad to see that, because within the next couple of years, they're going to be voting and things should be turning around, and they're going to be actively participating in the process. We talked to them about that, and they learned a lot. They asked great questions, and they said, how come we don't learn this in our school? And it was hilarious, because, and then they figured it out before we could even respond to it. A couple of them piped up saying, hey, they're being run by liberals. So that's exactly it. So the kids know full well what's going on. You can't pull the wool over their eyes. They've been through it, and they're going through it. So I just wanted to give a shout-out to them. I also wanted to shout-out to Diane. She lives in Anson, and she listens to our show every week, and she just wanted to say hi, stop by and say hi. And then when I spoke up and we started talking, she said, wait a minute, you're on the radio. Yeah. So we chit-chatted for a bit. So I just want to give a shout-out to Diane. She was very, very supportive of everything going on, and it was really nice to meet a lot of really good people there. So, again, shout-out to all the people that worked the booth and helped out, and to all the Patriots that were walking through the building and talking, and the Army guys next to us in the booth, you know, with their booth. They were very supportive, and it was timely to be there for Roe versus Wade, because right across the aisleway was the Catholic church booth that they had there, and they had four developmental stages of embryos in this display they have of the babies, and it was beautiful. And apparently fair staff got a call from somebody who was offended by what they had there, so they had to pull it down, and so we took care of the babies for them. And then so we had them on our booth, and they were there for a while, and then we, you know, they gave them back the next morning so that they couldn't get stolen, because we concealed the babies. We protected the babies at our booth. So I just want to say that, yes, the Republicans do protect the babies. So
anyway, well, so was it manned by all the people on the Republican Central Committee, or were there
no.
other?
No, probably about maybe a third of the Central Committee was there manning the booth.
Who's the folks?
And then it was just volunteers. Some people from our group that have been doing all this recall stuff and all this other stuff. I just made two calls and said, hey, would you guys like to? Absolutely. So they came and brought their families there, and
awesome.
They were running it. And they're all patriots. They understand what's going on. They know what's going on politically, and they're savvy about all this stuff. And they're willing to talk to the public. And so they did. And we had a young man in there. He's 17 years of age, and
wow.
One of our patriots there. And
that's great.
A really bright kid. And he did a great job, you know, manning the booth as well. So I just, you know, again, shout out to everybody. Thank you. Appreciate it. Made our life a lot easier. And to the team that tore everything down and put everything away and everything else, thank you again. Appreciate it.
Sounds good. We have Lori on the line. Lori, how are you?
Hey. Good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
Wonderful information today. I wanted to share something that fits with something of, I think, no matter what the topic, issue, concern is, whether people are talking about, you know, the Second Amendment or LGBTQ or the vaccines. Pick a topic, and we've got this thing called mass formation psychosis. I watched it about a one-hour show with Del Big Tree on the high wire with this man some people know, Matthias Dermott. He's a PhD, and he's talking about why does it seem we're running into people that no matter how much evidence, proof, data, facts, they still don't, like, come out of their zombie glance stare, that they're just so convinced that whatever it is, and they cannot take in other information that contradicts what they think is what they've been propagandized or hypnotized or zombied, whatever. So I just want to suggest people go to that if you want to understand what this mass formation is, that people will, I'll use the example of what they're doing here in this program, is that they're so sure that if you self-sacrifice yourself, meaning if you take two shots of COVID or three or a booster or you wear two masks or three masks, you're giving the ultimate sacrifice. Or if you keep doing hand sanitizers, or if you're still doing this, they call it a ritual, and you're just spraying the Lysol, and you're still doing all these things despite all of the data saying that this has not been held up to be factual, truthful, all the whistleblowers coming forward with the CDC, FDA, yada, yada, right, the flip-flopping, that they're estimating, and this is the man who brought this data forward, is that you only need about 5% of the people to have an actual conversation, to talk, be logical, and not have hissy fits, not have meltdowns at whatever public meetings, city council, board supervisors, rallies, and so forth. Approximately 5% of logical people, and this is why the churches and faith-based were so crucial, because that's where you could connect. You could have a face-to-face conversation at some point and not go ballistic or be triggered and have these meltdowns. That was a safe place. So what happened? They tried to shut those down and have that be a part of the lockdowns. So my point is that what talk radio is doing is encouraging more people to get together. And we've got, what, our local Freedom Coalition group every Thursday night? Perfect place to have like-minded people to listen, respectfully engage. There's no, you know, insanity. The cops aren't being called, right? And look what they're doing just as another example of Ukraine. That's like a one version. That poor Ukraine. There's nothing going wrong. They're being attacked just by one big Russia. We're not getting the facts, the full story, but it's just one of those things like we were at the Board of Supervisors when that one gal from Ukraine got to sing a song for 5 minutes. It's like, oh, what just happened here? Not that that was the end of the world, but I'm just saying that to me was like another example of people just going along with this mass hypnosis. And so, yes, there's going to be people that will take six shots, wear four masks on a sunny day at the beach. It's just going to be there. So what I'm saying is, there's no point in attacking these people or trying to engage with them. You almost just have to let it go. Do you know what I'm saying, folks? Just let them be.
Yeah, I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense. The thing is that they want you to engage. I know that at the last Board of Supervisors meeting that one of your favorite people tried to get people to engage, and we wouldn't engage with them. We just wouldn't engage with them, wouldn't respond to him.
He praised Les Baugh, May 31st, all this adoration for, you know, whatever the comments
were. Not anymore.
They are. And then the next meeting or two back, he's attacking him? This is insane.
Well, the point
is, you know, it's insane. But anyway, folks, that's just my input, because talk radio, the callers, we need to have logical people. And yes, we might not agree. The point is we don't need to have to agree. We can just agree that we're going to engage and dialogue, and we don't need to have the same darn sign at a rally.
I gotta
mass produce it. Let people create their own sign.
Yeah, I got to share something with you. You know
what?
Sal and I, you know, I started yard sailing with her. Because my wife is the yard sale queen of America, and that's why Wynn's laughing, because she really is. I mean, you name it, it's incredible what she finds. In fact, she found me at a yard sale. I was 50 cents, but finally she
should have left you there.
She got me for a dime, man. Come on, she got a good deal.
She overpaid.
So point being is that we're out there, and people actually talk to us. They recognize her from something. They recognize me. A lot of them said stuff, you know, said, are you on the radio, or blah, 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 or have I seen you on this, or blah, 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 blah. Not that that means anything other than the fact then they started talking about what was important to them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot more people that believe the way we believe than I think is really publicly out there. The challenge I have, Lori, one of the things that blows my mind, is that if you saw 2,000 mules and you're an avid Republican, why in the hell did you vote for Kathy Darling? How could you even begin to bring yourself to do that? That blows my mind.
It's a good point.
It blows my mind. I mean, how could you watch that movie and vote for somebody who's diametrically opposed to everything you clap for after you watch the movie. I mean, it goes back to your hypnosis deal. It goes back to that. It's just like people are just, you know, it's just like this glaze. And unfortunately, a lot of it has to do with people who are like in their 50s. And in that area, or 50s and 60s in a lot of cases, because these young families that Wynn was talking about at the fair and everything, these kids are growing up with great values. And, you know, when you look at what happened with the recall and everything else, that was all young moms and dads that did that. That was like 30-ish, early 40-ish, and raising their kids right and wanting to stand up for liberty and be tough about it. And a lot of them have moved here to Shasta County because they felt that they were going to move to a conservative county with conservative values, and a lot of them have their minds blown by the BS and all the crap that goes on at the Board of Supervisors and these people like, I'll just say it, like Comente and Rickert. I mean, Comente, Mr. Social Justice guy. I mean, you know, where did that come from? New Jersey?
Modi.
Oh, I think he did.
Anyway. Yeah, social contract and all that.
Well, social contract, I mean, what constitution?
Share about what I was watching on this one-hour video was that when they start to put the next wave, so like we're looking at what, the monkeypox or whatever, they've already got their trapped, convinced people that it will take nothing for them to buy the next version, the third version, and all the rest. So again, I'm not engaging or suggesting that people, you know, get into sparring and fighting and bickering because it's not going to really do much.
No.
You can try, but why bang your head on the wall repeatedly? And then the last thing they did at the show, you guys will love this. You know when Jay Leno used to do the man on the street thing, those little interviews?
Yes.
And ask a simple, basic question? So this guy was asking about the common phrase with this Roe v. Wade and all the rest, my body, my choice. So he said, okay, so what about the vaccine mandates? What about their body, their choice? And you could just see their face just go into deer in the headlight. They stopped speaking. Because they're like, oh, my God, what did you say? You could just see that their frontal lobe was having some kind of a
challenge,
smoking disconnection thing. And so there you go. They couldn't really handle that until they go, oh, wait. Okay. And you could just see that they're just busted. So anyways, you guys are awesome. We'll see you at another meeting somewhere.
All right.
All right, Lori.
Bye, you guys.
Okay. Thanks, Lori. Yeah, it's pretty funny. I mean, I had somebody say to me, well, you know, all you ever talk about on your program, I never listen to your program, but this is all you ever talk about. Well,
how do you know?
How do you know? If you don't listen, how would you know what I talk about? How would you know what Wynn said? You don't listen. I mean, I just, you know, again, I mean, okay. We had one talk show host who continually, every week, don't vote for the Democrats, you know, and then this guy calls in, yeah, the Democrats, don't vote for a Democrat. And the guy has the Kathy Darling Allen in his sights. It's like, what? Don't you, nonpartisan, it's nonpartisan. What do you mean it's nonpartisan?
It's all partisan.
There's no
That's
such
right.
thing as nonpartisan.
They only say that so that they can get them in.
There's no such thing.
And apparently it worked.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
it's legally far,
I
or mean, not.
May, you know, Jefferson was right. We shouldn't have parties, I don't think. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, really and truly, okay, but so if it's nonpartisan, then, you know, it's then even though the person who's going to be overseeing her own election, Kathy Darling, oversaw her own election. Hello, McFly, hello.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you do that? How can you oversee your own election? Well, that's my job. Well, no, it's not your job. It's just like when you're on a board of supervisors and you're involved personally in something, you recuse yourself. You should have recused yourself. You have other people there. And then you have a DA that tells the person, Eric Jensen, who runs against her, you can't cut in line. What does that mean?
Hmm.
Well, that just means we appoint the next up.
Yeah, you haven't earned your space.
I mean, how can people watch things like, how can you, you know, Dinesh D'Souza to me is the real deal.
Oh, yeah.
Guy's the real deal.
Yeah.
All right. So a lot of these pundits.
He went to prison for it.
He did.
He went to prison for it wrongfully.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because he spoke out.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's the real deal. Okay, so you have that, and you have all these other pundits that get on there, and they'll come and talk to you for several thousand dollars. We had one person, I won't embarrass that person, but we wanted to know if he would interview with us, and he said that we'd have to pay him. So I kid you not. I mean, these are those strong patriots, folks.
Yeah.
You're listening to on Fox News.
Yeah.
These pundits. And so you stop and you think about this stuff, and they take the federal government and the states, and they make it look like there is a contract compact between the federal government and the states. No, the compact is the states with the states, and the federal government is the product. And that's why we have the 10th Amendment, and anything that's not delegated by the states in the Constitution to the federal government can't be done. Well, you can't delegate something if you're an equal partner in it.
Right.
Only the higher power can delegate.
Yeah.
And it goes on in the 10th Amendment to say not only the states, what they delegate, but it's delegated to them. It's delegated by the states, if not the states, then the people. Hello? I mean, we just don't get this stuff. And it's so simple. And we don't get it. And we listen to it. You know, you listen to Fox News, you're blue in the face. You listen to all these guys, these great pundits. Oh, well, you know, so-and-so is speaking at such-and-such a place. It's only $100 to get in. Let's go hear the guy. You go in there. There's no solutions. Zero solutions.
Right.
Zero solutions. We have a guy named Chris Kellstrom who's running for District 5 mm-hmm. who does four commercials in 30 seconds. He talks about an issue and gives a solution in 30 seconds. And we don't have anybody on Fox News or anywhere else that does that. Yeah. Yet we're all willing to spend a lot of money and sit for a weekend and listen to these people. Chris Ann Hall, she'll give you solutions. She'll teach and give you solutions. There's a good one.
Yeah.
But a lot of them, you know, I went and saw so-and-so or this guy or that guy or so-and-so or this guy's next to Trump and blah, 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 and this is blah, 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 blah. But what solutions do they give you? You go back home and you find out you're getting screwed by your county. You're getting screwed by your government, and you just let them do it. I mean, that's where a lot of people have been. Now, these young people that we mentioned before, and this young wave of young families is an inspiration.
Absolutely.
Total inspiration. They are amazing. And when I say young, I mean a young, hardworking, you know, middle class, middle upper class, whatever you want to call it, families that come out here and do these things. Just great, great, great people. Those people are waking up. They need to carry the ball. It's time for us to give Seabiscuit his reins.
Brother, and pat him on the back a little bit, you know, in support, and let him go. Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. I agree.
It's like the movie For the Love of the Game.
Yeah.
You know, about a pitcher who throws a perfect game, but during the movie as he's pitching, it shows his very imperfect life.
Right.
And there's one part where the manager comes out and says, hey, I really want this because this game is going perfect. And Kevin Costner plays the pitcher. And he looks at the manager and he says, well, did you just come out here and give me a pat on the butt? And the guy says, no, I really want this game. I'm warming up so-and-so. I'm getting him in the bullpen. We're ready to go. I can bring him in. And he goes, I'm not going anywhere. And the catcher goes, let him finish. And the manager goes, okay. And the first thing Kevin says is, where's my pat on the butt? We have to move
mm-hmm.
and encourage.
Absolutely.
And help these young people. Give them the reins.
Yep.
Give them the reins. They'll do the right thing with it. And that's something we have to do. And when we talk about Jefferson, we've had people say, well, you know, a lot of your programs aren't about Jefferson. Every single thing we talk about is about Jefferson.
It all leads back to it.
We talk about it, it always goes back to it, because that's the remedy.
Yes.
Especially folks that have been engaged in this for a while. The remedy is Jefferson. The remedy is state split. The remedy for proper apportionment and representation is state split. That's the remedy.
Right. And it all comes back to it. You have to have all this dialogue to get back to, here we are, once again, full circle.
Fighting in the county.
Fighting in the county, doing it locally, taking it back county by county, and state split. That's exactly what it's all about. We've been talking about this for what? Oh, I don't know, since 2013. I mean, good grief.
Yeah.
Here we are, 9 years later,
yeah.
Still talking about this.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, guys. It makes sense.
I don't know if Mark Baird's listening or not, but he's going to laugh when I say this. There were times, I mean, there were times when we talked 3, 4, 5 times a day. We travel all over, all that good stuff, for years and years and years and years. So all these things are happening. And every single time that he speaks, I take notes.
Ditto. Did today.
And what Mark said to me, he says, man, you've heard all my stuff 100 times. Why are you taking notes? I said, I always learn something. Well, Mark, if you're still listening, I got 3 pages of notes.
Yep.
We're still taking notes, brother.
We have to so we can remember
because
it.
You're the guy who's bringing us home on this deal.
Yeah.
And our producer, Pat, here, had made mention that, hey, he's a pretty smart guy. He'd make a hell of a governor, Pat.
Yeah, he was. He was really totally incredible. On with his, and I guess that's all from memory. You know, I mean, yes, he does it all
it
the
is
time.
From memory.
Yeah. That's the kind of person when you get them in a situation and you need answers.
You got them.
Yeah, they can actually, and that keeps the conversation going. And especially if it's someone disputing what he's saying, you know, he can come up with what exactly it is, and then people can then go back and then they're naturally going to confirm it, and they're going to find out, you know what, the guy is correct.
That's spot on.
And if they have a problem with it, they should go through the process like the rest of us, change the law. If you don't like the law, change the law. There's nothing wrong with
that. Yeah, it's a really good point, you know, and, well, you know, I know that we've had people, maybe you could talk to your boss about somebody he has on once a month that gives a million different statistics and never has once given any kind of resource to where to get that. It's just, did you know that the 80 million people think this and 20 million people think that? And the end of the sentence, oh, yeah, I believe you. I'd like to hear, you know, it happens all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I mentioned something the other day about that, and one of the people in the chat room said, well, if you're that upset about it, what do you call him? And I said, well, he's mentioned 20 different things. You only get one phone call.
Yeah, well, that's why we always play the disclaimer, and that allows all of you guys that have the host that are hosting the shows
absolutely.
To say whatever you want. So,
well, not that as much as it's not that. The point is that you would think that a host. I mean, I would. I think every other host would probably mention something. Most hosts would say, okay, well, where do you get that information from? Now, some hosts will say that if they don't agree with what you're saying. Well, where'd you get that from? But really, where do you get it from? And I think that's the one thing I enjoy about people like Chris Ann and people like Mark Baird and Mark Muser, another one.
Yeah.
Who he's still in the run for the Senate.
Yep.
You know, those particular folks are people that'll speak, and they'll give you a basis, a background, a foundation, and also where they got the information.
Right.
Rather than just spewing out numbers, and then those numbers you're just going to accept it being right because they're sitting there. So I think you're right, Pat. I think that's something that has to be done, and maybe we can, you know, as a media group of people all over the free state of Jefferson, and all over as we're speaking, maybe we can get when people are spewing this stuff, maybe we can figure out where they're getting their facts from, rather than just saying, well, okay, maybe you're a doctor or you're a this or that, so we agree, you know, with what you're saying. So.
Amen.
So anyway. Next week is July 5th.
July 5?
Yep.
Wow.
The day after the 4th.
Independence Day. But are we really independent?
It was, yeah.
We are.
I think we are.
You
know, as long as we start understanding that it's up to us and the price of liberty is eternal vigilance.
Absolutely.
And the understanding of where we are as a state. As Jefferson said, the state of Virginia is likened to the state of France, Spain, and Great Britain.
Yep. It
means state is synonymous with country and nation. What we need to do is create a new state, several states, to where people gain their liberty back. And we're able to protect our rights with the Second Amendment. We're able to give the people that we elect a proper apportionment, a number of people they can actually deal with, and they're accountable to.
Yeah, why does Oregon get to be the smallest state on the West Coast? Why can't Jefferson be?
Maybe it can.
Maybe it will. All right.
We're dancing here.
All right. Time?
Time has come.
For 51.
We need to get it done.
Amen.
We really do.
Sooner
now.
With God and pray, pray that we find a common ground. Salute the heroes that make us proud.
America!
I'm 30 miles from Collin Cap. Meet me at Turlock so we can chat. Night we stand, divided we fall. We go to war, who you gonna call? My sister, your uncle, my brother, your mother, my cousin, my friend, just buried another. With the dirt that we both walked on, the same soil we're standing on.
United we stand, divided we
the news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice.
Shasta Regional Medical Center.
North State Relief, a nonprofit serving Northern California communities, is raising awareness that there are free financial counseling services available to North State residents, provided by certified counselors at Balance Pro. They offer free HUD certified financial counseling for debt, rental, and mortgage assistance, student loans, and financial counseling for veterans and fire victims. Get advice from the pros at balancepro.org or by calling 1-800-777-PLAN. That's 1-800-777-7526.
Get the very best of summer with BlackBerry.